Hello, you're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we are broadcasting this week from a trailer located on the grounds of the new Car Talk Plaza headquarters.
You get your hard hat on. This is a construction site. You can't walk around like that in your shorts.
Well, the construction company was
Bermuda shorts.
Nice enough to let us use this while they're putting the finishing touches on the plaza's interior.
It's really looking good here, you know? I can hardly wait to move it. There's something about new trash.
Hey, I noticed that they finished installing the Murphy bed in your office.
Yeah, you know, a Murphy bed is a brilliant idea. I mean, it's a waste of time and space to take up all that room with a bed or like a desk, which they were originally contemplating.
That's right.
Who needs a desk?
There wasn't enough room. Hey, what do you think of the rest of the joint?
I think it's great. You know what I like exactly? That they're going to put all the hate mail division down in the basement.
Yeah, right next to the boiler room.
Yeah. It's one of those new high-tech furnaces that burns anything. We're going to get free fuel for the entire winter.
This
is going to heat
awesome.
The whole building with hate mail.
I think you should consider taking that handful of mail that you have right now and bringing it down.
No, this is good mail. This is good mail.
Aww.
In fact, here's an interesting thing. Where is it? Here it is. Look at this. I just got this notice from Chrysler. It says, Dear Tom.
Legal department?
Almost like they knew me. Dear Tom.
Dear Tom.
Personalized little letters. But the whole letter is a bunch of baloney. But do you know what they're naming one of their new cars? The 93?
The Dodge Dart.
Close, man. They're bringing back the name Concorde.
Are they really?
Oh, it's going to be thrilling. Instead of an AMC Concorde, it's going to be a Chrysler Concorde. I always told you that was one of the best cars ever made.
Same fine workmanship and styling.
And styling as the previous Concorde. That's why they resurrected the name. Here's a letter.
Oh, okay.
It has nothing to do with that.
Can we take a call?
My wife and I just returned from a weekend at a music festival outside Albany, New York. The place we usually stay at was filled up, so we found ourselves being accommodated at another hostelry. Hostelry?
Yes.
Is that a place that's hostile?
Usually.
In the area. You can imagine our surprise when we pulled up to the Days Inn driveway to find a parking lot and lawns even filled with scores, maybe hundreds of Ramblers, Javelins, Metropolitans, like unsuspecting guests checking into the Bates Motel. We had stumbled onto something that never in our darkest nightmares had we dreamed could exist.
They stumbled upon the Lunatic Fringe Convention.
A car show for American Motors products. The horror, the pity, the essential human frailty. Imagine, in our comings and goings, whilst parking my Mazda between these curiously misshapen, and he's got hulks scribbled out, relics crossed out, vehicles, I never once saw you wandering through the swap meet area, poking into cardboard boxes. I'm forced to conclude that you missed the opportunity of a lifetime.
Wow. You did? Where was this?
I didn't know. It is an opportunity of a lifetime. Albany, New York, and look. Who is this? Who sent us this? The unsigned.
Oh, chickens.
Oh, no. Russ K. from Worcester, Massachusetts. Look at this bumper sticker.
Oh, American Motors built my kind of car.
I'm putting that right on the back of the Datra as soon as I get out of here. God, that's exciting stuff.
Are you ready to take a call? I know
AMC
you're ready.
AMC lives. The Concorde is the resurrection.
Oh, geez.
Sort of like Dracula. You got any oak steaks?
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi,
hello,
who's this?
This is Sister Mary Ann.
Sister Mary Ann.
Yes.
Does that mean that you are a sister of the cloth?
I am a nun.
A nun. None of this and none of that.
You got it. So you get on your best behavior right away.
We are on our best behavior. This is as good as we get. Where are you from, sister?
I'm from Albany, New York.
Albany, New York. That's where they had the old AMC cars.
But anyway, that's not my problem. I have a 1990 Plymouth Sundance.
Plymouth Sundance.
Car.
Wait a minute now, sister. How can a woman of the cloth, as we call you? What do I call you? A nun?
Yes.
I mean, what do? You go through the poor box on the church and you lift out the money and that's how you can afford to buy a brand new car?
I don't have a brand new car. I lease a car. That's the only way I can afford it. I pay a little bit every month.
Sure, because you got to wait till the box fills up again.
And the way it's going these days, it's not good at all.
Well, okay, what's wrong with this Sundance?
This Plymouth Sundance is, the best way to describe it is it's jumping. Now, let me tell you, I've had it in twice. The first time I took it in, I explained, and they rotated the tires, checked the alignment. Okay, I took it out again, it still jumps. So they said, well, is it a certain speed? I said, no, I can't tell. Sometimes I'm just riding along, mostly when I'm on the highway, and it starts to jump.
Wait, explain jumping.
Well, it's like...
All I can think of is the bunny hop.
Well, why do they suspect the tires?
Well, I don't know. What they did.
Does the whole car bounce?
Well, no, it surges back and forth, doesn't it?
I don't know what it looks like from outside, but inside it sounds like it's like I can feel the floorboard under me shaking.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they took it in a second time, and the second time they gave it a tune-up, and they said they did something with the points and all this. Got it out again, and it was better, but it starts again. I'm driving home from work, and I'm hoping I'm going to make it. So... they're really nice. The place I leased the car, they're really trying to fix it. But they finally said to me, you better bring it in and we're going to let some manager drive it for a while and see if he can figure out what's the matter with it.
Yeah, his car's in for repairs and he wants to drive yours.
From what you described, I didn't understand why they had done anything to the tires. Mm-hmm. But I like the second thing they did, the tune-up business, because it sounds to me like it's an engine-related problem. Rather than a tire-related problem.
Now, see if I'm right here. When you say it jumps, it doesn't jump up and down or side to side. If you were climbing a hill when it was doing this, would it be worse?
When I'm climbing a hill, you can feel the gears really going. You know, it's an automatic. But,
yeah.
And no, it's mostly when I'm on, and I don't know how to explain it to you, except that it has a jumping sensation. Now, I don't think the car... looks any different from the outside. It's what I feel inside.
It's what you feel. But is what you feel sort of a back and forth motion or an up and down motion?
More, I think, like an up and down.
Oh, that's the wrong answer system, Marianne.
I'm sorry. It's the only one I got.
Gee. Wow. Up and down motion.
Uh-huh.
And this happens when you're driving at any kind of speed on any of road?
Because, most of the time it happens, I have to take an interstate to work.
Yeah.
So it'll happen mostly when I'm on that, going 55 or going 6. And if I slow down, it still does it. It doesn't seem to be a respecter of the speed limit. It just goes whenever it wants to.
So it's on a straight, smooth road.
Yes.
And it's just apt to do it if you're coasting?
Yeah, I can't predict when it's going to happen.
Okay, I take back what I said. I like the first idea better. The tires.
And most of all, I hope I don't break down.
What? You don't have any worries.
So who has the car now?
Well, the manager is supposed to be taking it. If I bring it in, they're going to have the manager take it and drive it around.
That's a good idea. I would do that if I were you.
Okay.
And I have to say, though, I suspect the tires. For now that we have a description of what it is.
Uh-huh.
And jumping was, I think, right. It was the right. I don't know why we questioned you, Sister Marianne. My brother did that.
I'm sorry, sister. I didn't mean to do that.
I accepted jumping right away. And I think what it sounds like to me is tires which have scalloped edges. And a lot of times you can see, if you're driving along the highway, once in a while you take a look out the side and you can see a car going by you. And if you look at the tires, some tires are just smooth as silk. And other times you see tires that are, in fact, bouncing up and down.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what's happening to you.
How many miles do you have on this thing?
About 31,000.
31K.
Well, you may have just worn out the original tires. It may be time for new ones.
Yeah.
And even though they may have tried to balance them, they may be unbalanceable.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So have them take a look at the tires. If they were really nice, they would put 4 new tires on it just to see if the symptom goes away. And also... have them look at the shock absorbers.
Shock absorbers, okay.
Yeah.
You may have to have a special collection at Mass Sunday.
Yeah.
For Sister Marianne's tire fund.
I mean, if you have a lot of troubles with your car, are you allowed in the to go to any church in the Archdiocese and pick out from the poor box? Or do you have to stay in your own parish?
I think I'm going to sit in front of the church in the car and say, give to my son. Give my son.
I think new tires and perhaps new struts are going to fix you up, Sister Marianne.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
All righty. Thanks
for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Guess what? The Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. If you're like most people, there's been a time where you had to stop working on your car because you didn't have the right parts. But eBay Motors thinks the only thing that should slow your car down is the brakes, or maybe friction, but not a lack of parts. That's why eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. In fact, they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. That way, you can keep your project moving and your car not just running, but running in style. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
I don't believe it! You're cured!
No, don't get your hopes up. Just before the show started, Bugsy reminded me that I owed him money. And that caused me to remember last week's puzzler.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Bugsy, you mean John Q, Bugsy, Sebastian, Sweet Cheeks, Mr. Height Lawler? Did all that for you?
Yeah! I borrowed a 10 spot from good old Mr. Lawler. And you know what I had?
Sure, you call him Mr. Lawler because he's awake and listening.
And now that's why I know what the puzzler is, man. That's it. Here it is. What we said. I will repeat verbatim the definition of the puzzler, the explanation. On the back of John Lawler's $10 bill, anybody's $10 bill for that matter, there is a depiction.
Yes? Right?
I said that. I used that word.
I don't think so.
It's like moreover. Well, it's not a picture. So I couldn't say picture. It's a depiction of the United States Treasury building. And in front of that Treasury building, there is a car.
Also because you equate picture with photograph. It's a picture. What is it? A washing machine?
Is it a picture?
It's a picture. Otherwise,
sure,
I'd say
picture
it's a
picture. It's a drawing, actually, isn't it?
Yes, I would say it's a drawing.
Well, I didn't want to
We
specify.
Have a drawing to see who wins the puzzle. Is that the same kind of drawing?
Same. No, that's drawers. The question is, this car that's in the front of the Treasury building, and it's not clear from the depiction whether the car is parked or moving, and it's irrelevant to this puzzler.
So why mention it?
The question was, what make and model of car is it? And we gave a hint that it was at least 50 years old.
And? Do we have a winner?
Well, no, I have to give the answer first.
Oh, what was the answer?
Here it is. On the back of a $10 bill, that car is... Ooh, this is good. I wonder, did anyone actually get this right?
Yeah, somebody got it. Well, I don't know
if 1926 Hupmobile. I mean, most people have never even heard...
A what?
...of a Hupmobile.
It's way before my time.
You know who drove a Hupmobile?
Woodrow Wilson.
Close. You know the most famous fictional character who ever drove a Hupmobile?
I'm going to tell you.
Fictional character. Yeah.
Philip Marlowe.
We'll use this for next week's puzzle. No.
Who?
Rex Stout's Nero Wolf. In fact, he might have had a 1926 Hupmobile.
Was that the only one they made?
And Archie Goodwin drove it for him.
Well, we did have a winner.
Yeah. And do we have a winner? It's hard to exchange roles like this.
This is very complicated.
I'm saying what you usually say.
Well, you can announce who the winner is. You've done so well.
Because I always
I may turn
that.
Over this whole portion of the show to you. Okay. And I'll go out for a sandwich.
The winner is Al Hermanson. What a funny name. It's not simple like Malyotzi. From Crookston, Minnesota.
Yes, and what will good old Al win?
Good old Al is going to win a mediocre copy of our mediocre book, Car Talk.
Isn't a mediocre copy? Not a brand new copy?
No. We recycle these. We send them out to people because they won the puzzler. They send it back. And it gets all mutilated by the postal service. And we use it for the next person
who
wins.
Well, congratulations, Alan. And stay tuned. We'll have a new puzzler coming up soon. And I may even be able to snooker Bugsy for some more bucks.
Hey, what's on the back of a $5? What am I doing? What's on the back of a $20 bill?
50.
I don't think he's ready for 50 yet.
1-800-332-9287. We're ready to take a call?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hello, you're on Carta.
What's the number?
This is Carl from Santa Monica. Glad to be on your show.
Is this Carl with a K or Carl with a C?
Well, strange you would ask. It's Carl with a K. Thank you very much.
Isn't that interesting, aren't you? Isn't it good that I asked?
It was nice.
So what kind of BMW do you own, Carl?
Well, strangely enough, I own a Japanese car.
Oh.
And like it very much. It's a 83 Honda Civic. And my story, my problem, begins on a very quiet Sunday morning. And all of a sudden, we heard this kind of, I thought it was a siren, a smoke alarm. I don't know what it was. Emanating from someplace I didn't know. And
you were driving along it?
No, I was... We were still in bed, if you can believe this. It was a wonderful, as I say, it was a wonderful morning.
And you were hearing sirens. That's good.
Wow.
Right. And so I
did you see, like, fireworks, too?
What's that?
Did you see fireworks?
No. Well, as you'll see, it turned out that the doorbell rang, and I came to answer it in my pajamas. And it's one of our new neighbors that we just moved into this neighborhood. And she said, your horn is running, is blaring.
Blaring, yeah.
Out of the blue. It just started... for no reason at all. And so I look across the street, and of course, there's my lovely little car with its horn just going like crazy.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
So I immediately panic. It's amazing what that sound does to you. I run back to the kitchen, get a screwdriver, run out to the street, pop the, you know, I did get my keys, open the thing, get the hood open.
And couldn't find the horn.
I've got a screwdriver. It doesn't mean no good whatsoever.
Really the wrong tool for this job.
Right, unless I was going to try and short the thing out or something. I don't know.
Mm.
But anyway, so obviously that's not going to help. I couldn't find the horn well enough, quick enough. I feel like a deer with a spotlight in its eye.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I run back to the house. This is all in my pajamas. And look for
a hammer.
Hammer would have been better than screwdriver.
That is true. No, pliers. There you go. So
that's good.
Better. I disconnected the battery.
Excellent.
But yeah.
By which time, every neighbor in the entire block is looking out the window.
Well, I think it's
commenting
rather,
on your pajamas.
I think it's a rather clever way to introduce yourself to the neighborhood. I mean, everyone knows who you are now, Carl.
Well, yeah, I'm the one that owns the car with the horn.
It's the jerk with the Civic. I think they refer it to you as. Yeah.
So anyway, I left it, of course, with the battery disconnected until I had to use the car, and then found the horn, disconnected the horn, put the battery cables back on, got in the car, and drove it around. And the horn system is so simple, it really blows my mind
as
to what could make this happen.
It boggles the mind, doesn't it?
It does. I haven't hooked the horn up yet. For fear that it's going to happen in a place that's going to be much worse than, you know, a Sunday morning.
Oh, you didn't even experiment?
I didn't want to hear that horn for another nanosecond. I'm still panicked about the whole idea.
Let me tell you an interesting story, which is related to the horn story.
Oh, this is again giving me time to figure out what's going on.
No, I
like this technique.
I know what's wrong with
Drag
the horn.
Drag it out.
I know what's wrong with the horn.
Take your time.
I once lived in a part of our fair city here in Boston, and it was a cold.
You take your coffee with two sugars.
yeah, go get me one, will you? I have a couple of eggs over light. And it was a cold winter night, and it had been snowing for about an hour. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was fast asleep. And I suddenly heard...
I like the scene. I like the way you...
You can just see it all, can't you?
I can hear the wind blowing.
The wind... The howling. And all of a sudden, my doorbell rings.
Ding dong.
Ding dong, right?
Ding
well,
dong.
I lived on the third floor at the time, and I said, who could possibly be ringing my doorbell at 2 o'clock in the morning? No. You got it all wrong. So I look out the window, and it's completely quiet. You know how it is in those dark nights? The wind is blowing. Snow is falling down, right? I walk in my pajamas, just like Carl. I walk down my three flights of steps, and I peer outside to see who could possibly... I wasn't going to buzz
anybody.
There is
nobody there.
Not only is there nobody there...
They stole your car!
My horn was blown! Not only is there nobody there, but the snow had covered the front porch, and there were no footprints. You talk about the hair on the back of your head standing up?
Yes.
Wow-zee.
Yeah.
And what had happened was exactly what happened to Carl's horn.
Really?
A miniature Barnum and Bailey.
Yeah, short circuit.
Short circus. Isn't that an eerie story? Did that give you enough time? I mean, what the hell do you want from me? I'm working on novelettes now.
Ask him what color it is. Well, one of two things happened, Carl. Either your horn relay got stuck, or the problem is in the steering column. I mean, it's pretty, like you say, it's pretty simple.
It's pretty simple. It consists of the switch, basically, which is in the steering column, in the steering wheel, and a wire that goes to a relay under the hood, and then another wire from the relay to the horn, and that's it.
Yeah.
So here's what you do. You go and you buy a new horn relay, because that's the simpler thing to do, and it's probably $10, and you have to get it from your Honda dealer.
Oh.
Then you can spend all of next weekend looking for the horn relay.
And you can do this in your pajamas, just so the neighbors will—they'll associate it with. They'll say, "Ah, there's good old Carl. He's doing something good for the neighborhood." It's a good thing this didn't happen at 2 o'clock in the morning, like my little problem happened.
Right. Well, it will next time.
Yeah. Find the horn relay, replace it, and then you're gonna have to do the test.
I'll tell you right now, if you were to plug the horns back in,
it'll work. I mean, it won't blow.
It's gonna be fine.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Until next Sunday morning.
Well, and then I'm always driving with the idea that at any moment the horn could come on itself.
Right, and that panic would set in.
Right.
I think you should sell it.
You know what you need? Here's what you need. You need a pair of bolt cutters.
Right in the front seat.
Right in the front seat. So when it happens, you just cut the steering wheel right off.
And no, if that doesn't fix it, it means it's the relay.
No, this is really simple.
Yeah, but, it should be really simple.
It's really not easy.
It's going to cost you $300 to fix it.
It's not easy to figure out whether it's the relay or whether it's the horn button.
But if you're willing to experiment a little bit, put a relay in it. That's cheap, and you won't have to pay $48 an hour to some shop.
Actually,
I can do that myself, huh?
Oh, yeah, simple.
When you buy the relay at the dealership, if they're nice guys, they'll tell you where it's located. I don't off the top of my head know. It's probably under the dash someplace.
Okay.
When you're fine with a relay, you just take it out every night.
Well, I'll take the battery in the house with you.
Good luck, Carl.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Right after these messages, you'll hear more calls and a new puzzler coming right up.
Hello and welcome back to the second half of Car Talk on National Public Radio.
How many halves are there?
Three. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're still broadcasting this week from a trailer on the lot of the soon-to-be-finished Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah.
Here in our new fair city of Cambridge.
Massachusetts.
Yes.
Or Ma.
Huh. We'll be giving out the new address in a few moments after the new puzzler.
Yeah. That's after we are sure that the creditors aren't listening. Or because you give out your address, it allows anyone to write. And to find you. Actually, that's why it's a post office box.
That's right.
Hey, got them now.
Tommy.
What?
Do you know what time it is now?
What?
I know, it's just a fluke.
What, is it time for that already?
Yeah.
What, break time?
No, it's time for the new puzzler.
What is
Without
the puzzler?
Without further ado, this
Get
is
on
a
to it here.
Very brief puzzler, as was last week's.
Yeah. Okay, on the back of a
the
$20
beauty of
bill,
this puzzler,
there is a depiction.
The beauty of this puzzler is its brevity.
Another one of those.
No, no, no.
It's going to take you 4 hours to discuss brevity. That's like my humility is one of the things that makes me great. Yeah, brevity. Because there is a certain beauty in brevity.
B-B,
beauty, brevity.
Yes, there
and
is.
That's right. Like last week, on the back of a $10 bill, car. What car? Bing. I was all done.
Right.
So you're going to follow in that.
Well, I'm taking
your
lead.
A little lesson from your big brother,
who you
recognize as being more intelligent, more handsome. What else?
More of a liar.
More of a liar and stupider.
Here it is in a nutshell.
In a nutshell.
Well, actually written on this piece of paper.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm only going to say it once, so.
Go.
And it's short, so.
Brevity requires
I mean,
that
the beauty. Bing. The beauty of the other puzzle
is this a sort
the,
of bada bing, bada bang?
The long involved ones is you could, like, go out for a snack and come back and it would still be going on and you could get the gist of it. This, you sneeze, you miss the whole thing. You get no shot at
no,
it.
What's interesting, too, about short puzzlers is that you don't have any opportunity to throw in red
herrings. Have we used the entire time slot allotted for the puzzler? Do we have to just move on and take a call now?
Okay, there's no time.
Right.
I guess we'll do the puzzler next week. No,
all right, here it is.
But see, a short puzzler needs to be better because usually when you give puzzlers, you start telling us about it was a woman's car and it was red and she was driving to work and you...
Well, my philosophy has always been if you can't have quality, shoot for quantity.
Yeah, so this one is brevity. This is brief.
This is lousy and brief. But
lousy
it's,
and brief.
And
okay.
If it's going to be lousy, it ought to be brief.
Yeah.
Henry Ford ordered parts from his suppliers, and he would specify the exact size of the boxes used for shipment.
Hmm.
Why? Okay, I'll do it again.
Well, because if the boxes were too small, the stuff wouldn't fit in them. Well, I mean... Why would he have to do that? That's puzzling, isn't it?
I'll read it again. Henry Ford would order parts from his suppliers, and when he did so, he would specify the exact size of the boxes that they used for shipping them. Why did he do this?
That's good. I like it that way. It's brief, and it's interesting, and there's no room for all the baloney.
If you think you know the answer.
What if someone knew the answer or thought he or she knew the answer to this puzzler? What would he or she do?
Send that on the back of a $10 bill with the Hupmobile circle to Car Talk Plaza.
Wait, this is the new address coming up.
I was going to just sneak it in. You ruined everything.
Okay, forget it.
All right, start all over again.
All right.
Henry Ford.
Is this a brief puzzler?
Car Talk Plaza. Puzzler Division, Box 3500.
That's 3,500.
Harvard Square.
That's H-A-H-V-A-H-D. S-Q-U-A-Y-A-H.
They're going to hate us. Cambridge, Mass. 02238. Cambridge.
I'm confused about whether I should say our new fair city or our fair
new city.
Like
the new Chrysler Corporation.
New Chrysler Corporation. Cambridge, our new fair city.
Mass 02238. And the number, as always, will be 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Scott Ziskin from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Hi,
Philadelphia.
Scott.
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
All things considered, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. Ziskin.
Yeah.
That's a nice name.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What's up, Scott?
I have a question about truck alignment.
Truck alignment.
Right. I have an 87 Dodge minivan that we use in our service business, so there's like a lot of weight on one side with the shelving and all the parts that we carry.
Ah, good.
And the mechanic that we use tells me that he can't align the truck properly with
unless
all the weight.
Unless you take all that junk out of there. That he's right.
Right, but if they align it and I put all the junk back in, won't that throw out the alignment?
No, it won't throw out the alignment, but it'll throw out the springs and whatever.
Well,
why do you have the weight distributed so unevenly? Not only is that injurious to the suspension, but it's also dangerous.
Oh, I can understand why.
It's not a lot of weight.
How much?
I'd say 200-300 pounds.
Oh,
that's like a mother-in-law. No, I'll bet it's more than that. Are you a plumber or an electrician?
Refrigeration mechanic.
Refrigeration mechanic.
So,
right.
Give us a brief rundown of what you would have in the truck.
Tools. Small electrical parts.
Uh-huh.
Hand tools, things like that, maybe a couple cylinders of refrigerant.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why.
Out the ozone.
It makes sense that you'd have to have it all on one side, because if you have shelving on one side and shelving on the other side, you can't fit through the middle.
Right, exactly, because it's a minivan. You don't have much space.
Well, that's what you get for buying the cheapest truck you could possibly find.
Yeah.
Wasn't so cheap.
Well, I mean, you've got to take all the stuff out in order for him to align it. You've got to do that.
When it goes back in, though, won't the weight then screw up the alignment?
No, it's not going to screw up the alignment, but it is going to make it look like it's sitting cockeyed, because it is going to be sitting cockeyed.
Well, it does now, yeah.
But that's not the same as alignment.
But if you can tell by looking at it that it's cockeyed, then you have more than 200 pounds in there.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because if you had a 200-pound person sitting in the back of the passenger version of this thing, you wouldn't notice that it was tilted. I'll bet you got 1,000 pounds, if not more.
I hope not. But
you'll find out when you take it all out.
Well, here's the test. Here's the test.
Okay.
How many trips does it take to empty it?
The whole thing?
Yeah. You have to go in and out of that truck probably 40, 50 times, each time carrying 20 pounds.
We never really empty it because we're only going in for a little part.
How long did it take you to fill it?
4 years.
6 years.
It's interesting how stuff just collects and collects.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you if you weighed this stuff,
right,
I'd be surprised if you had less than 800 pounds of junk in there.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's bad. You should try to distribute it more evenly.
Okay.
If you can.
Right.
But he's right. I mean, it does make a difference to the alignment, and it's very conscientious of him to suggest that you do this. Most guys would just align it and say, who cares?
Now, I always thought once they put the truck up on the rack that the tires are kind of hanging there.
Oh, no. No.
No? Okay.
No.
Because I thought he was giving me the, you know, change the old air in the tires routine.
Well, you have to do that, too.
I don't have a $70,000 Jaguar.
No.
Oh, you heard that guy.
Yeah, that's what prompted me to call, because I thought the guy was doing the same thing.
But the other comment about it being dangerous that my brother just made,
right,
you should also take heed of. Who is heed?
No, it's possible that the springs on that side are shot, too.
Not only that, but the handling is going to be a little bit wacko.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you go around a corner and you got 1,000 pounds leaning on one side and not leaning on the other. But
you need to hire some heavy drivers. Is all the weight on the right side?
Yeah.
That's it. Hire 1,000-pound mechanics.
Right. You need some sumo wrestlers.
That would be fun.
But empty the stuff out, get it aligned, then when you put it back in, throw half the stuff away because you probably don't need it.
Okay.
That's it?
So I thought the guy was, like, you know, pulling me around.
No, he's not. He's a very good guy. Good for him
for
doing it.
Okay, super.
All right, Scott.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks
for
your call.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Hey, do you know what time it is now, Tommy?
Yeah, time to go.
That's right. Another hour has passed, and though you may feel like you just spent it at the Registry of Motor Vehicles, you've actually been listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio. Our producer is the inestimable, or is it unestimable?
We don't know.
Doug Berman. Where is he, anyway?
Doug, where is he, Berman?
Our assistant producer and dean of the Department of Auto Music College.
Does he get two paychecks?
And temporary bachelor. Must get three checks.
Does he get three checks?
It's Ken Rogers. Jennifer Conifer Gonifer Loeb is the former Miss Milwaukee. And, of course, our engineer, our technical advisor is Mr. John Lawler. Our public opinion pollster. Did you kiss his ring today?
I did. I kissed the hem of his garment.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our automotive medical researcher. That is a difficult.
Automotive medical researcher. I have no trouble with it. See, I
okay,
only have,
you do it, wise guy.
I only have one tongue.
Our automotive medical
speak with forked tongue.
Researcher is Dr. Denton Fender, our staff grammarian, acting philologist, as I am Shirley Wright, our director of long-range strategic planning. Frank Sarawi dumped his wife. Our staff disciplinarian is Les Stern. Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw. Our staff composer, Bela Kartok. The conductor of the Tappet Brothers Symphony Orchestra is Sledge Ozawa. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Les Ismore. The chairman of the Kartok Physics Department. I didn't know he was chairman.
He's chairman, yeah.
Victor Analysis. And, of course, our chief legal counsel from the law firm of Dewey Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known around town as Huey Louie Dewey.
What about the telephone operator? Isabel?
Isabel Rings?
Ringing. Isabel Ring.
What about our new minister, Pearly Gates? She's not
on
here?
No, she's not here.
And where's Mr. Gigi?
Gigi does our hair, and our wardrobe is by Miss Natalie Attire.
And we're Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
But thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.